May the Lord continue with us today and bless us in Jesus' name. Bible study for today. Let's read it. Daniel, we're Daniel chapter what? Chapter number 5. Amen. Please listen carefully because that is what we want to look at.
Daniel chapter 5, I read in Jesus' name. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler of the kingdom, in the kingdom." Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Then the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and chewing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts, we are found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gift be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, and majesty, and glory, and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him, And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was like the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thy heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written: Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing: Mene, God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances, and have found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him, that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night were Belshazzar, the king of Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 80 years old. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I have something to tell you. The story of Daniel is not about Daniel. It's about you and me. We must bring it down. If not, the story will not have any effect. It will just be history. And evil history generally is supposed to help us in the present. Amen. Everything you see in the Old Testament, like I say, is having something to do with us in grace. That's all we're trying to pick out there. Because when you read this story of Daniel, and you read the story of those empires, there are volumes of books. Because the history, some of them are so detailed. But that is academic. I was sharing with Pastor Zoe yesterday. I said, the story, you know, the way I was going to take it was going to take too long. I said, I will bore the people with unnecessary academics, with unnecessary, you know, academic history and theological histories. I think I should just go straight to getting you to see the picture so that you know where you are in relation to what that story is talking about. And what is it talking about? The chapter 5 of the book of Daniel is talking about the fall of Babylon. The end of the Babylonian Empire is talking about the destruction of Babylon. And so, let's focus on what to learn from it rather than the details of what happened and how it happened. First, the word Babel, Babylon is from the word Babel. Babel or Babylon, they are speaking about the same thing, is speaking of the same city. It is a city the Hebrew called Babel and the Greek called Babylon. And the story of Babel, that city, goes back to Genesis chapter 11 from verse 1. Let's read it. Genesis chapter 11, and I read it from verse 1, maybe up to verse 9. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Let us go down. And they have confound their language. Confuse their language. That they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, which means confusion. Because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. That is the history of that city, Babylon. And that city, Babylon, there's something interesting about it. Amen. First, number one is that it was a place where confusion among mankind began, and God caused it himself. Because if man says to do something, the will of man is strong. God created man in his image and in his likeness. There are characteristics of God that he put in man. One of it is the ability to create. That is what has produced science today. And these are people who were a godless people. They had no God in their agenda. If the whole world will come together as a people, united together, under one leadership, under one purpose, and come together, a godless group of people, anything they want to do, they will achieve it, including dethroning God. That is how powerful the will of man is. When a man sets in his heart to do anything, except God steps in there, nothing stops him. And that knowledge and that power that they have, Satan can easily hijack it and turn all mankind against God. So number one solution in his wisdom is not to destroy them, but to make sure there's no unity among men. So he confounded them. Unless you can understand one another and you are united, you can hear before you can build it up. There is no story. I didn't see where the tower was brought down. I only saw what God did. He set confusion among them so that they will not understand one another. So when he said bring stone, he will bring water. When the commander said go right, he will go left. And since there is no unity, the building cannot continue. And it's the same way also Satan is using. To make sure, knowing the power of unity, if Christians can come together and be united in one faith, in one love, in one doctrine, in one baptism, and stand and call upon the one true God, nothing shall be impossible. And so Satan said, God, you scatter my own with confusion, Abi, I will also send confusion to your church. So that they will not be united. And are we united today? Has Satan not succeeded? Praise the Lord. Well, we're talking about Babylon. And so, history shows that after some time, when it was time for the times of the Gentiles that God has allocated according to his divine agenda for man to rule this earth called the times of the Gentiles, he raised a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, who now also built his headquarters in Babylon, and his kingdom was known as the Babylonian Empire. And the times of the Gentile was to start from him. Four Gentile empires before the stone kingdom, the kingdom of Christ, will smash it to pieces and then establish the righteous kingdom, where Christ will be the King of kings and the Lord of lords for 1,000 years on earth here. And so, the Babylonian Empire reigned for so many number of years, as history shows it. He died, and his son, Belteshazzar, praise the Lord. I believe that is his name. Belshazzar. His son, well, history shows it's not even his direct son, but a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar, at this point in time of this narration, was the one in charge of the empire. He was the head of the empire. Praise the Lord. And it was during his reign, amen, that the reason for the destruction of that empire really came to prominence. The destruction, take note, the destruction of that empire was prophesied. Please, let's read some scriptures because it is Bible study. It didn't happen before Belshazzar. It did not happen, just happen. It was only fulfilling. It was the fulfillment of prophecies that had been given. And we see one of the prophecies in Isaiah chapter 13. In Isaiah chapter 13, let's read the first five verses there. Isaiah chapter 13. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. Lift you up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice upon them, shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations. Gather together, the Lord of hosts mustered the hosts of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord, and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. If you go to verse 17, he said, behold, I will stir up the Medes. It was specific who he will use to finish him. And did it come to pass? I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bones also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation, neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and horses shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there, and the wild beasts of the islands shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. And while this prophecy was going on, Belshazzar was there enjoying the glory of the kingdom. While this prophecy of destruction is going on, God has released judgment already. The kingdom was at peace and enjoying the glory. He said the glory of the excellency of kingdoms. Hallelujah. Jeremiah again repeated the prophecy in Jeremiah chapter 50. Let's read it. Jeremiah chapter 50 from verse 1 to 4. Let's read the first three verses there. The word of the Lord spake against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. Isaiah has prophesied his own. Jeremiah is prophesying his own. So that in the mouth of two or three, the matter is established. Declare ye among the nations and publish and set up a standard. Publish and conceal not. Say, Babylon is taken. Baal is confounded. Merodach is broken in pieces. Her idols are confounded. Her images are broken in pieces. For out of the north, there come up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein. They shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast. Go to verse 9. For lo, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country. And they shall set themselves in array against her. From thence she shall be taken. Their arrows shall be as of a mighty expert man. None shall return in vain. And Chaldea, that is their tribe, the tribe of the Babylonians, the language of the Babylonians was Chaldea, shall be a spoil. All that spoil her shall be satisfied, said the Lord. Chapter 51 again, the same Jeremiah continued his prophecy. From verse 1. Thus said the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me a destroying wind. And will send unto Babylon fanners that shall fan her and shall empty her land. For in the day of trouble, they shall be against her round about. Against him that bendeth, let the archer bend his bow. And against him that lifted himself up in his brigandine and spare ye not her young men. Destroy her, destroy ye utterly all her hosts. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, and they that are trustworthy in her streets. Praise the Lord. Verse 27 and verse 28 of that same chapter. He says, set ye up a standard in the land. Blow the trumpet among the nations. Prepare the nations against her. Call together against her the kingdom of Ararat, Mini, and Ashkenaz. Appoint a captain against her. Cause the horses to come. Amen. Verse 28. Prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes. That name is mentioned again. The captains thereof and all the rulers thereof and all the land of his dominion. The Medes mentioned again specifically because it came to pass. If you go to verse 60 now, the whole chapter 50 and chapter 51 was prophecy for the destruction of Babylon. And so when we come to verse 60, towards the end of the prophecy, so Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that should come upon Babylon. Even all these words that are written against Babylon in chapter 50 and chapter 51. Verse 61. And Jeremiah said to Sariah, when thou comest to Babylon and shall see and shall read all these words, then shalt thou say, O Lord, prophetic action is about to take place. Thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. And it shall be, when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of Euphrates River. It's the river Euphrates, it's a river. And thou shalt say, thus shall Babylon sink and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. And did it come to pass? Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. It came to pass, as we see in Daniel chapter 5. And the Medes rose up and destroyed that kingdom, captured Belshazzar, and until today, according to that prophecy, that city does not exist again. That city does not exist again. But the interesting thing is that that kingdom physically ended, but that kingdom spiritually still existed. And that is where it concerns you and I. But let's look at the reason why the city, the kingdom ended, and why Babylon was totally destroyed. The first reason is that it was because of the way she treated the Jews. Interesting thing there, and that is all you will see in Jeremiah 50, in Jeremiah 51. Yes, by the time you come to Jeremiah 25, before you get to chapter 15, Jeremiah prophesied to Israel, because of your disobedience, because of your haughtiness, because of your stubbornness, until even the Sabbath of the land, you refuse to keep it. Because of it, God said he will send the king of Babylon against them. And they will be in captivity for how many years? 70 years. Amen. But after 70 years, the Lord spoke again by the same prophecy that he will judge that same nation again, that he used to deal with them. Because I want to see the reason why they were destroyed. Number one, I said, for treating the Jews, ill-treating them. Although it was God that sent them there. Hey, I can dwell on that for a very long time, for somebody to learn a lesson. Be very careful when you're dealing with a true child of God. When you are sure somebody is calling on the name of the Lord, is a child of God, be careful. You know why? Whom God loves, he chastens. Listen, but you know what? He will always use something to deal with that child. Then, when he has used you to frustrate him and make him cry, and then he has repented and he reconciled with him, then God will come back and look for you. Be careful how you see a child of God in frustration. Be careful not to add to it. Now listen, it is both ways. I can show you in the scripture, I don't have time for that now. The Bible tells us, when you see God also dealing with your enemies, he said, don't rejoice. If not, he will stop dealing with the person and face you. That is why he said, pray for your enemies. So that you won't go and take the problem of your enemy and add again on yourself. Because you are rejoicing. Oh, I know we should be happy that we are delivered from the hand of the wicked. Now, to be happy because I am free from the enemy is different from to be happy because my enemy is suffering. There are two different things. When I jump up and they say, my enemy, the one that frustrating me everywhere, he don't die. I say, praise God. Are you praising God because he died? Or you are praising God because you are now free because he is dead? There are two different things. So know how to rejoice when you are giving testimonies. In a proper setting. And so, Babylon kept the children of God in captivity for 70 years. And made it look as if it is because their God is powerless. So God had to come to show them that he has a covenant with his people and he will not forsake them forever. Even when it's in your hand, the enemy, his eyes are still there because of his covenant. Number two, the reason why he ended that Babylonian captivity was because it was corrupting the nations with her fornications, with her sins, with her abominations. As we see in Jeremiah 51, verse 6 and verse 7. Number three, the reason why he destroyed that is because they were dishonoring the true God. And that is what was the limit, the extent of their abominations, of their evil, their wickedness. When Belshazzar could come and then organize a feast because of his greatness, call everybody and to despise the God of the Jews. The God of the Jews that his father encountered and humbled himself and exalted him above all other gods, Nebuchadnezzar. Even though he heard what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel was telling him, you still did not humble yourself. You decided the vessels of the house of God in Israel, in the temple in Israel, that your father collected and kept. You didn't know, so to say, that God only used Nebuchadnezzar to keep them in store till the day they will return back for worship. The vessels were not in captivity. The verses we are in safekeeping. Oh, glory be to God. We can learn so many things from this. Do you know sometimes, hallelujah, hallelujah, a child of God will commit something and they will put you inside prison yard. And the enemy will think that they are finished with you. While it looks like punishment, sometimes you are inside the prison yard for safekeeping. You don't know what God is keeping you away from by keeping you inside the prison. Sometimes some sicknesses are to stop you from going out. All things work together for good. And the only reason why you cannot settle your mind in understanding is because you look at God like a man. Before God sets out to allow anything to happen, it is because it is working out his purpose. God does not make a mistake. God does not do trial and error. God is perfect in all his ways. Hallelujah. And that is why Satan will want to make it look as if you are serving a dead God, or that God has forgotten you. I told you the last time I preached here, remember, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I was still trying to explain to you why in Revelation chapter 7, why we see those with the white robes. And who are they? They are those that were martyred, killed, beheaded by the Antichrist. And all those that were martyred, we see them with white robes. And you are wondering, And the Bible said there were multitudes. While they were on earth here, being killed, they were made to look as if their God was dead. The type of cruel death that the disciples went through. When you read it in some of these books, like the Fox's Book of Martyrs and the rest, you will sit down and you will imagine whether is this a fairy tale or a reality. Can a human being do this to a fellow human being just to make the person deny Christ? You didn't steal, you didn't kill, you didn't do anything just to make you deny your faith. Can a human being be subjected to such? And God was in heaven, as it seems, folding his hands and watching. The truth is, he was not folding his hands watching. Because we saw them there in Revelation chapter 7, clothed in white. So it simply means that while they were killing you here, while they were disturbing them here, God was busy with the tailor designing their clothes. And what does this signify? It's your reward. He was preparing your reward for standing for him. So sometimes some trials you go through, always remember, I will continue to say this because the Christian faith have missed this totally. All these motivational speakers have refused to point us to the principles of God. Always remember that a true believer, if you are truly a Christian, every trial you go through, every temptation, every difficulty, every cry Satan makes you to cry, the enemy makes you to cry, the situation, the conditions around you subject you to, including delay in fruit of the womb, delay in getting a job, delay in marrying, including those sicknesses that refuse to go. Other people don't get healing, your own does not get healing. Including the pain, sleepless nights. There is only one target. It is to make you deny your God. And God will watch you like he watched Job. And he will watch to see. Now, why is he allowing it? To show the enemy that there are some people on earth here that will never deny me. Under any condition. Apostle Paul is one of them. Job is one of them. And the apostles. And look at the story of the first church age. It will challenge us in this age. What we are doing in this age is not Christian faith. It's religion. Because your faith that has not been tested is only religion. Every faith, anyone that confesses the Lord Jesus Christ, you will face challenges. So Apostle Paul rounded up this and said, all that shall live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Jesus himself rounded it up like this. He that will follow me, you should pick your cross and follow me. And he didn't say you should hang it on your chest. It's not a piece of wood to hang it at the altar. Carry your cross and follow me. Then go and look at his own. Then you'll understand what it means. Fear of what was coming upon him. Blood was coming out as sweat out of his skin. When he imagined the torture he will go through. All because he said he's the Son of God. Nothing more. Your own to all because you say you are a Christian. And God will use it to cause separation between those who come by religion and those who come by revelation. And those who come by religion, very soon, they will be tired and they will give up. But I want to assure you that there is nothing going on around the child of God that God is not aware of. And one area that Satan attacks us the most is preventing us, denying us access or enjoyment of material things. the day you get this mind that you came to this world with nothing, and there is nothing in this world that will follow you when you die, that day you will tell Satan, you can stop whatever, stop me from getting anything on earth here, but you cannot stop the salvation of my soul. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. The day a sister will tell Satan, whether I marry or not marry, I'm not taking a husband. Husband is not a certificate I will bring before God. There's nobody that is taking any building that you built here to present before God. In fact, when you die, finish, many of you, your children will sell them. Who did you labor them for? That's why that song that I said, brother, afar from the Savior today, risking your soul for the things that decay. Oh, it's too late, cause you're calling away. What do you give in exchange for your soul? Sister, what will you give? Brothers, what?